Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for all of you today. My guest will be Dr. Robert Graham. He is a doctor of internal, integrative, functional, and holistic medicine, as well as a natural food chef. And he'll be coming on in just a little bit, and I'll tell you more about him when he comes on. But first, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some ways that you can take action, and of course, share my weekly recipe with all of you. So first, this week I wrote about the leasing of public land for gas and oil fracking and mining. And before Trump left office, as I'm sure many of you know, he went all out doing as much damage as he could. And one of those things was granting leases to the fossil fuel industry. And there is a petition on my website to please ask Congress to do its part to permanently end the oil and gas leasing on public lands and also in federal waters. We need to move our country towards an equitable clean energy future. And this is so, so important. And I'm sure that will come up in our discussion today, but please sign this petition, let Congress know how you feel. Also in the news, and again, I'm sure we'll be talking about this today with Dr. Graham, there was a new study that came out that found glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup, that it really alters our gut microbiome. And the more and more research that is done, people are really finding that our health gut, the bacteria in our gut is related to so many diseases. It's the root cause of inflammation in our body. And that in itself causes so many other chronic diseases. So, you really want to read about this. You want to educate yourself and you want to do what you can to eat as much organic food that is free of glyphosate as possible. So check that out as well. And then I want to share my recipe with you from this week. I wish I had shared it with you last week because I made it as a Valentine cake this past week and it was just so good. And as most of you who have been following me know, I am a chef, not so much a baker. But every once in a while, I will bake a dessert, and it's definitely something that I am not as comfortable with. I really have to follow a recipe. There's much more science involved. It's not just about flavor and tasting things, but you have to, really balance things, and especially, doing baking as a vegan chef, where you're leaving out eggs and things that you are used to baking with. It is even more of a challenge, and I have to say that this chocolate cake came out better than any chocolate cake I've ever made. So even if you change the frosting or do whatever you want with it, definitely this is a recipe to save. So this is a vegan chocolate cake with raspberries. I made it for Valentine's Day. I made two layers, but I actually cut one of the layers in half horizontally. So I had three layers because I had so much extra frosting. You can either just do it with two layers or three layers. That will be your choice. But these are the ingredients you need. A quarter cup of tapioca flour, 1 1/4 cup of organic all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of almond flour. And that I just make myself. I just use almonds and pulse them in the food processor until they are a flour consistency and a little bit coarser than your average flour. 1 cup of cacao powder, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 2/3 cup of organic coconut oil, 2/3 cup applesauce, 1 cup of pure maple syrup. I use the darker maple syrup, grade B, but A would work as well. 2 tablespoons apple cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon pure vanilla extract, and 1 can of organic coconut milk. And when you buy coconut milk, you want to, at least in Whole Foods, you want to go to the baking aisle where they have the simple coconut milk and all that's in it is coconut milk. a lot of the other brands have guar gum in them and carrageenan in them, and you don't need any of that. You don't want that coconut milk. You want coconut milk that just has coconut milk in it. Then for the filling, I made a filling with some cashew cream. And so for that, you need a half a cup of raspberry jam, which you're just going to spread purely as raspberry jam. But then the 1 cup of cashews, 1 to 2 bananas, 1/4 cup of maple syrup, 1 tablespoon of vanilla, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of water, you're going to pulse in the food processor until really smooth. That's going to be your frosting. And then I made a chocolate drizzle to put on the top, like a chocolate ganache. And with that, I used 1/2 cup of raw cacao powder, 1/2 cup of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla. And in addition to that, I used a bag of frozen raspberries, which I also pulsed. And I put that on top of the cake. And if you go to my website at ieatgreen.com, you'll be able to see all the photos, which will help you follow the recipe. So you want to start by positioning the rack in the oven, into the middle of your oven. Preheat the oven to 350. You're going to prepare 2 round 9-inch cake pans that you're going to either spray with some oil or rub some coconut oil in there. Line the bottoms with some circles that you cut out of parchment paper, and then spray on top of the parchment paper as well. Place a wire mesh strainer over a large bowl, and you're going to add the flours. You're going to add the tapioca flour, the all-purpose flour, the cocoa, the baking soda, and the baking powder, and the salt to the strainer, and just let that go through the strainer. That's like sifting it. And then the almond flour that you made, you're not going to put through the strainer because that's going to be much coarser than the regular flour, and it would get stuck in the strainer. So you're just going to add that to the bowl. And then separately in a mix, in a cake mixer, you're going to beat the wet ingredients. So you're going to beat the coconut oil with the applesauce, the maple syrup, the vinegar, the vanilla, and the coconut milk. And you want to put the shatter shield on it, if you have a shatter shield, or else kind of carefully drape a towel over the bowl, because this is very liquidy and it's going to splatter around. But you want to mix that up until that gets blended really well. Then you're going to slowly add the dry ingredients to the mixing bowl and keep beating it until you have a smooth batter. Then you're going to divide the batter between the 2 pans, tap them lightly to even them out and to eliminate any bubbles. And then you're going to bake it in the middle of the oven for about 30 minutes. And everyone's oven is different. Very often the back of your oven is a little hotter than the front. So if that's the case, turn the pans halfway through. But you're going to bake it until the cake batter is fully set. Usually it's about 30 minutes, and you'll be able to see that it starts pulling away from the side of the pan. You can test it with either a toothpick or a knife inserted into the center, and it should come out clean, and then you know it's done. But I have to say, this cake was lighter and had just a great texture. It was really superb. So you're going to set those cakes on wire racks to cool. After about 5 minutes, you can invert the cakes upside down onto a plate and remove the parchment paper, which will stick to the bottom of the cake. But the bottom of the cake, what's now facing up, is going to be the top of your cake, because it's nice and flat. So it's going to look much better than the arch of the original top. So when it's cooled, you're going to set 1 layer of the cake onto a platter. You can tuck some wax paper under all of the edges of the cake so that as you make a mess with the frosting, you'll be able to remove that wax paper after, and the platter will be clean. You're going to cover the bottom layer of the cake with the raspberry jam and 1/2 of the cashew frosting. Using a serrated knife, you're going to cut the 2nd layer horizontally, if you choose to do that, to create 2 more layers. And then you're going to place 1 of those layers on top of the layer that you have already frosted. Reserve the layer that was the bottom of the 2nd layer to be on top so that it will be flat. And then you're going to repeat what you just did. You're going to put some more raspberry jam, some more frosting on, and then put the final layer on top, again with the bottom facing up so that it's nice and flat. Then you're going to pour the chocolate drizzle on top of that. Now, the chocolate drizzle like I said, was the cacao powder, the maple syrup, the coconut oil, and the vanilla. And you're going to warm that over a low flame on your stove just until it's smooth and, and mixes up so it's really smooth. And then you're going to pour that right on top of the top layer of the cake. So the whole top layer is this shiny chocolate, beautiful ganache. Then the remaining frosting you have, you can put along the sides. And then you're going to pulse those frozen raspberries in the food processor and put those on top of the chocolate ganache, and it will stick right into the chocolate ganache. And if you have enough, which I did, I also put the raspberries all around the sides. So it really looked beautiful. You can use your imagination and see the, you know, bright chocolate with the red right next to it. It was really beautiful. And like I said, the feedback I got, everybody who ate the cake just loved it. It was really great. I still have some left over. I've been giving it away because it's so rich. You only need a small little piece, and it's really great. So as always, I love feedback. So if you do make this recipe, please let me know how you liked it and share it with me. And now it is my pleasure to introduce to all of you this week's guest, Dr. Robert Graham. He is a Harvard-trained physician, board certified in both internal and integrative medicine, trained in holistic and functional medicine, a public health scientist, a TEDx speaker, food activist, and chef. In 2016, he co-founded Fresh Medicine with his partner and wife, Julie. Together, Fresh Medicine is an integrative health and wellness center located in New York City. And Fresh is an acronym for the five ingredients in their recipe to health: food, relaxation, exercise, sleep, and happiness. Dr. Graham received his Master's of Public Health from the Harvard School of Public Health while completing three additional fellowships in general internal medicine and complementary integrative medicine therapies at Harvard Medical School, as well as medical education at Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He also completed coursework in mind-body medicine, positive psychology, lifestyle medicine, culinary medicine, and botanical and traditional Chinese medicine. In 2018, Dr. Graham became one of less than 20 doctors who are also chefs worldwide, as he obtained his culinary degree from the Natural Gourmet Institute. Dr. Graham is a food fighter and a leader in the field of integrative, functional, and holistic medicine. Has prescribed food as medicine for over 15 years. He's taught over 500 healthcare workers, mostly doctors, how to cook whole food, plant-based meals, and created the first edible rooftop garden on a hospital in New York City. He served as chief wellness officer for a large healthcare system and provided strategic oversight, direction, and leadership across all activities related to the health and wellness, health promotion, and disease prevention. Dr. Graham was sick of the current medical model of a pill for an ill. Dr. Graham created and prescribes the Fresh Five for health and healing and has witnessed many patients get off their medications and live happier, more fulfilling lives. He's an expert in gut health, including IBS, GERD, candida, and leaky gut, chronic disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, prevention, and reversal and autoimmune management. He believes in food as medicine, is trained in herbs and dietary supplements, and when needed, prescribes medicine. When not seeing patients, Dr. Graham trades his white lab coat for chef's whites with the goal of expanding his toolkit both for use as a healthcare provider and as an advocate for new models of integrative food-first lifestyle-focused healthcare called culinary medicine. He serves as an advisor for food companies, including Performance Kitchen and organizations who are designing food as medicine programs and meals. In 2019, they launched an online self-care university called Fresh Med U. The Grahams are now working on writing their first book, The Fresh Five, Your Recipe to Health. And I can't wait for that to come out. So Robert, you with me?
I'm still with you, Bhavani.
Good, good. So tell me first, what inspired you to follow a path of food as medicine and change the model of what you originally were taught in medical school?
Well, let me say, I'm still trying to change this model. The reality is this, is that I had the great opportunity in 2015 to give a TEDx talk called Back to Our Roots, Back to Your Roots. And what I witnessed.
That's where I first met you.
Yeah, I know. What really kind of, early childhood experiences growing up in New York City, in Jackson Heights, I had friends from Southeast Asia. I had Italian friends. I have Black friends. I have Mexican friends. I have Colombian friends. I have white friends. I have every friend, Japanese friends, Chinese friends. And what I noticed as a young child, that every single race, ethnicity, and culture has their own idea of what health is, and how we should approach it. And one fascinating thing that was consistent throughout every person I spoke to or experienced firsthand was that food had a really important factor to be considered, yet often neglected in conventional medicine. When you look at, where does health start? I was fortunate enough to have a mom. I still have my mom still alive. Be home and cook scratch meals for me. And all of my family, all of my friends really had the similar thing, that it was either their father, their parent or grandparent feed them medicine via not a pill, but literally through their food, their own ethnic cultural foods. And if you had a symptom, the first thing they would reach out for wouldn't be a pill or go to Duane Reade or Walgreens. They would first assess what you ate and then offer some sort of dietary intervention first. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just, like I've said it before, I'm just a new messenger of a very old story where food has been left off the plate when it comes to medicine. So I'm just trying to bring that back. I'm just trying to bring food back. That's really, it's that simple, but it's hard to do it within a very conventional, dogmatic, Western medicine, conventional medicine environment that we typically assess when we're sick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's a challenge when health institutions make their money off of people being sick. So, sometimes there's not an incentive to get people healthy if they're going to lose money. I mean, I've interviewed, many doctors over the years who have been have had great results with, getting people off medicine and reversing heart disease. And then the hospitals fire them, basically, or tell them, they're not doing a good job because all of a sudden, all the procedures that the hospital makes money on goes down. Have you found pushback from the medical profession what you're doing?
In 2016, I left a large healthcare system. So it's the same story. I have a father who really believes that you got to stand for something or else you're going to fall for everything. And I knew I wanted to be a doctor to reduce people's suffering. That's the first. And then also help people, but really reduce their suffering. And a lot of what we see in today's society is obviously the pandemic right now, right? The pandemic of COVID, of this virus. But there's also another pandemic. There's actually multiple pandemics happening. The other pandemic that really has COVID has shed light to is this a pandemic of chronic diseases. Things like diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, to a certain degree cancer, that can be reversed and or prevented by adopting a healthy lifestyle. And unfortunately, in conventional medicine, conventional docs and conventional healthcare systems get paid by volume. The more you do, the more patients you see, the more money you make. And to your point, Bhavani, it's completely ironic, is that you oftentimes, in my practice, the lion's share of my business comes from new patient referrals. I don't want to see you in my office. I'd rather see you in Central Park walking, or I'd rather see you on the beach, or I'd rather see you in a restaurant. I don't want to see you in the office. And I think the goal of what I consider good medicine is really giving people the tools so that they become their own doctor and really focus on self-care. And then you just come in to check in on me when things are not going right. And, you know, it's a completely antithesis to the conventional medical model. But yet I do honor and respect, you know, my training as a conventional doctor. And I think there is an important validated evidence-based role for it, but we just rely too much on it. And that's part of the reason why we started Fresh, because I think Fellowship Medicine needed a fresh start. And I'm really proud to say that we are entering our fifth year on a wing and a prayer, and people show up and, you know, like what we do. And ultimately, again, you know, we change people's lives, and that's really why, what keeps me going.
So tell my listeners again what Fresh stands for and your philosophy around Fresh.
For sure. So Fresh is an acronym. Well, let me just go back. So I'm born and raised in New York, as I mentioned before. I grew up in the 1980s. And back in the 1980s, the coolest word for anything hot or you know, new, innovative was fresh. You would have a fresh car. You would get, you know, a fresh haircut, fresh produce, and everything. It was like everything had to be fresh. And so I liked the word fresh. And then dope came out, and fly came out, and, you know, all these kind of words that kind of identify something hot and new. But Fresh, we turned it into an acronym, and it stands for our five ingredients or our five pillars of health. It's food, relaxation, exercise, sleep, and happiness. And combined with my wife, Julie, who is a, you know, yoga teacher, meditation teacher, she went to IIN, she's a health coach, she does positive psychology, does aromatherapy. Combining her 25 years of experience and my 20 years of experience in the health and wellness and medicine fields, we figured that if we offer people the tools, what we consider the foundation of what true healthcare is all about, eating right, moving, exercising, sleeping well, and finding happiness and purpose, you know, medicine will be of less or no need. But unfortunately, we don't learn these life skills or these foundational health skills anywhere, let alone a doctor's office. And so we kind of just flipped the model and offered a fresh start. And every single patient that comes to see me gets approached that way. So if you go to our website, you will find our intake form. And our intake form is really kind of a self-assessment to see how fresh are you. And we work on things based upon where you need the most work. But as you mentioned, and I love to talk to you about this deeper, is that, you know, there's a connection between our food and health. And our motto is, when it comes to our health, it starts with food. But in the end, what we truly want in life is to be happy. And I truly believe that. But we're just not giving the tools on how to do that, the roadmap. And I think together we do offer people the roadmap. A lot of my practice, 80% of my practice, not 80, maybe about 65% of my practice, is working with patients with chronic conditions, particularly gut issues. You know, you hit it right on the head. You know, 80 to 90% of our immune system, our serotonin hormones, neurotransmitters, our health really starts in the gut. And again, the Hippocrates, the father of medicine, said that 2,500 years ago, but we've just forgotten it, you know. And so, again, I'm just a new messenger of an old story, and using ancient wisdom with modern medicine is where my sweet spot really is.
So do you prescribe like a GMO-free diet with your patients? I mean, I know, you know, whether it's organic or plant-based or whatever, there's so many variables, but I think amongst the people that I speak with, no matter what your food choices are, the quality of the products within that diet is really of such importance. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. And that it really is highlighted in that intersection between in gut health. You know, your gut is always talking to you, and we have just ignored it, or we've just covered it up with pills. You know, when you eat something and you have acid reflux, that's telling you that food does not want to be in you, right? And so it's trying to get out. Same thing. If you eat something and you go to the bathroom immediately, that is your body talking to you. That it there's something wrong with the processing and the absorption of that issue, of that food substance. And so therefore, that's the first thing. Again, it's self-care, and that's part of our practice. We make you aware of how good you could feel by adopting a lot of these common principles. Yeah, I, one of my biggest beefs is literally is, and it's all related, you know, Bhavani, is that we have a broken food system, we have a broken agriculture system, and we have a broken healthcare system, and then we have a broken financial system. They all play on each other. I don't think there's like a master puppeteer up there doing it all, but it's interesting how the economic incentives of each of those rely on each of those. And I think we have to break the system, and we can't wait on government to do that. You know, the last 4 years, now the next 4 years, next 8 years. So I think the onus is on us. And, you know, as you know, I come from an immigrant family. My mom's Latina and my dad's a farmer. So I call myself a son of a farmer and a son of an immigrant. And that kind of chutzpah, or that let's do it ourselves and let's wait for the government to catch up, is really the philosophy I have. And so my whole practice is really a testament to what I really believe is true healthcare. And it starts with what we eat and how our gut functions accordingly. Now, when it comes to GMOs, you know, the least we can do at this time, the least we can do is just have it labeled that, you know, again, we can buy things that we want to buy, free will, free society. And if we choose to buy things that are non-organic, non-GMO, that's on you. But I think we should first start with just labeling it. If you can eat organic, that's great. But I also think like local is important too. I think understanding, meeting your local farmers and understanding their philosophies by what they grow and how they grow it is as important, if not more important. So it's so interrelated and so connected. Once you step away from the actual myopathy of what you're actually dealing with and looking at the systems in general, they're so connected. And I think, you know, what you do in your podcast and what you try to do in your everyday life is really what we all should be doing, having these conversations.
Yeah. well, you know, you're trying to work within these two massive systems, both the food system and the healthcare system, both, yeah, as you said, are broken. and I know we want freedom in our society, but it almost seems like we need to create policies to change these, because they're not going to change on their own. We need to make healthy food more affordable and unhealthy food really expensive. And the way to do that, it seems to me, is to make the food corporations and the biotech corporations who are responsible for either polluting the soil or making people sick pay for the cleanup or the healthcare, some aspect of mitigating the damage they're causing. And if that was the case, then the unhealthy stuff would become much more expensive, and all of a sudden an apple would be, you know, affordable. But right now, the way things are, as you know, the healthy fresh vegetables and fruits tend to be more expensive. You know, I mean, I saw a commercial yesterday, Wendy's, you know, two breakfast sandwiches for $4. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you can feed two people with that. It's hard when someone is really on a tight budget to combat that. You know, that's another thing we always see in the, you know, in the marginalized communities. You know, there's ample fast food companies, but few supermarkets selling fresh fruits and vegetables. So how do we deal with these two massive systems that are in conflict with each other?
Great question. I actually just had a conversation about this. Sadly, not here in the U.S., but with my friends in Amsterdam and in Japan recently. What's interesting is that, you know, wherever our standard American diet goes, our diseases follow. All right. And that's kind of like the Westernization has made not only us sick, but also the entire world sick.
It's our biggest export.
Exactly. Right. And so, you know, the question you ask is really an important one. You know, can big ag or big food or big health change on their own? Or do we have to drive change through policy? And that's, you know, and you have people like Marion Nestle and others who I highly respect who say, you know, they'll never change, so let's work on policy. Then I have other people that I really respect and say, well, you know, they need to be shown the way, and it could be an economic model for change, right? And you're starting to see a little bit of that. You're starting to see companies where you never thought there'd be quote unquote healthy food being served. And maybe it's not the healthiest food, but they're actually changing from they're changing their economic model, probably because, as you know, some of the market trends, you know, plant-based diets, transparency, organic, all these words, are people are buying them. People are voting with their feet, going to stores that actually sell it. Places like Walmart. Walmart is the number one seller of organic foods and fruits and vegetables now. 10 years ago, that would never would have happened. And it's because of demand.
Right, right.
Right. And so we also have to, again, it's that maybe it's that how I grew up as a farmer and an immigrant. Like we have the ability, if we have the knowledge, and I would argue the fact that the knowledge is there. The knowledge is there. And we have to just take control of what we decide we're going to define our communities as. I also think that many immigrant communities don't have a lot of money. And it's the acculturation of their taste buds to become more westernized that gets them sicker. So if they stay true to their roots and their foods, because they tend not to come from very wealthy places. So therefore, I think that if we revert back to the immigrant way or the ancestral way of eating, where food, meats, particularly animal proteins, were a luxury, and whole food, grains, seeds, nuts, legumes, beans, lentils, and all the beautiful stuff was the primary source of protein. That's where we have to take back our communities. And we don't have to go into McDonald's. You know, we can, you know, a can of beans and rice and beans is a lot cheaper and can feed a lot more people today than I think going to, you know, a fast food restaurant is. And so I think we also have to take some sort of personal responsibility for this. And, you know, I think we have to stop saying that, you know, let's change the policy. Let's do that. You know, I don't have time. Like, you know, we don't have time to wait for policy to change. So therefore we start adopting these healthy behaviors. It's on us, you know, and go find a doctor that talks.
Well, like I think I think one of the good points you're making is that the public, the way public acts also influences policy, right? Like it drives policy. So as more and more people are desiring healthier food or organic food, it's making that change, like you said, with Walmart carrying it. They're not doing it because they wanted to invest in organic. They did it because the demand was there and they saw that they could make money out of it. It's all money driven. So we have to make enough people make that switch so that the consumer is what's driving the changes in the policy. I almost think that our behaviors have to change first before the policy is going to follow. Because I remember Obama saying, you know, make me do it. And I don't remember what he was referring to, whether it was, you know, pulling out of the wars or the climate change or whatever. But he said, make me do it. He needed to see massive rallies out on the street in order for him to justify the policy he was going to implement. And so it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think if you look at, you know, I don't call myself a futurist or anything like that, but if you follow where the future looks like it's going by market trends and, you know, there's Ogilvy, and there's a lot of people that are think tanks that actually offer, you know, predictions 5, 10, 20 years from now. You know, I recently gave a talk, like I said, in Japan, in talking about the future of retail and how the supermarket has changed. Now, we never would have thought a pandemic would hit us, right? We never really thought of that, right? But again, that's directly related to our food system too, to a certain degree. And now we don't leisurely shop in a supermarket for an hour anymore. Now, a lot of our trips to the supermarket is what we call hit and run. And there is an explosion of grab and go, takeaway meals, things that somebody has prepared from a sanitary point of view. So therefore you just grab and go. I think that's an important movement that I think will continue. But I also think that's part of the things that I'm working on is developing what we call doc boxes. We're working with grocery store chains so therefore a person who has diabetes can get a box, or heart disease, high blood pressure, can get a box of food that has been designed for you for your healthcare needs. That's where policy is happening as well on the
on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of bills going into the notion of what they call medically tailored meals. And that's part of the reason why I'm so proud about my affiliation with this company called Performance Kitchen, because upon working with them, you know, number one, all our meals are frozen. So number one, you know, you flash freeze healthy organic stuff at the peak of freshness. Number two, it's scalable. So therefore, you're able to lower the cost of you're able to lower the cost. It makes it more affordable. Convenient food. I mean, it's convenient too, right? It's always in your freezer. And then number three, it has to be tasty. So convenient, affordable, tasty are the three things that I think it has to happen for things, for healthy food to be the default. And to your point about, you know, right now, the unhealthy choice is the default choice. And we have to make that unhealthy choice the non-defaulted choice. We have to make healthy the defaulted choice. And so using things with whole grains, vegetables, beans, seeds, nuts, healthy fats, whole food proteins. And if you are going to eat proteins, animal proteins, you know, there has to be some sort of consciousness to it. And guess what? If you look at what we're talking about in terms of retail, all of these things that we just mentioned is where the consumer is demanding it. Young kids want transparency in their food system. Young kids want more whole food plant-based diets. Young people want to know where their food comes from. And so again, we're going to either shift with the times or get left behind with them. And I do have hope for the younger people because they are demanding it.
Mm-hmm. So which do you like better, being a doctor or being a chef?
Yeah, I've been a doc for 20 years. I love the intersection. I love the power of feeding people healthy food on a mass scale. But then, you know, when I think about how, you know, I have a master's in public health, and, you know, for 20 years, it's conventional medical model was one person at a time. And I think what I've been able to do with, you know, FreshMedU, which I'll love to talk to you about a little bit, our online university, again, make it scalable, transportable, affordable, anything you want. Mm-hmm. You can really affect many people's lives from a scale point of view. So our education courses mm-hmm. are scalable. My practice now because of telemedicine is scalable. And my affiliation with Performance Kitchen has become scalable. So it's, I'd like to say that we predicted the future, but you know, we were just riding that crazy wave until till today, really.
Uh-huh.
So I love being both.
Okay,
so
let's talk about, yeah. Well, you know, I really come from the kitchen side of things. As a vegetarian chef for over 40 years and a vegan chef for probably the last five, you know, I too am really passionate about not just cooking, but teaching people how to cook. And that's why, you know, I continue to share a recipe every week because, and you know, and some of them are winners and some of them aren't as much of a winner, and that's okay. And that's one of the things I want to, you know, I like to tell people, it's like, it's not always the best, you know, but weekday meals don't always have to be, you know, when it's special, you'll put that special energy in, but getting dinner on the table in a timely fashion, you know, we all know that cooking vegetarian food takes more time and effort than sticking a piece of fish under a broiler. Yeah. And so, you know, if you're cooking every day, yes, some of your meals are going to be winners and some might not be as great, but they're all going to be really healthy and satisfying. Let's talk about FreshMed.
Yeah. So just one more point about cooking, you know, this may be one of those silver linings in COVID, you know, a study out of Hunter said that
absolutely
54% of people are cooking more. And number one reason why is because they're saving money. So when you cook at home, by default, it's just healthier. So there's a lot of things to, that's one of the, again, the silver linings of this whole COVID experience, that people are taking control of their life more by cooking more. But when I look at Fresh, right, the COVID-19 pounds is real. People have gained about 16 pounds. When it comes to relaxation, 50% increased risk of mental illness, mental health issues. When it comes to exercise, 32% decrease in exercise. When it comes to sleep, 60% of people are sleeping 7 to 8 hours less a night. And 100% of people have complained of a sleep disturbance throughout COVID. And when it comes to happiness, the biggest problem I have is the social isolation issue and loneliness in our society. Currently, there's about 40 million people right. that live alone. That has just exploded, particularly as the elderly populations are now living longer and they're living alone longer. And you know the science behind that. Loneliness is as a greater predictor of death than heart disease. So I think one of the things that we really focus on, and we just are about to launch a course called How to Stay Fresh During COVID. So obviously our company is called Fresh Medicine. Freshmednyc.com is our website, and also our social handles. But about a year and a half ago, prior to the pandemic, a grocery store chain here in New York in the tri-state area reached out to us. Their CEO reached out to us and said, listen, guys, I see what you do. You know, I see that you're a doctor. You know, you're a health coach. You have all the things I really want for my company from a corporate wellness point of view. And part of it was driven by the fact that within about 3 months, his big people, his good people, he said, had one developed diabetes, one had aortic aneurysm, one had a stroke, and one had a heart attack. And these are his big people within his grocery store chain. And he was like, listen, they're back, but they're unhealthy. And can we do something that we can get my entire community of employees healthy? And so it's a challenge, you know, because there are 13 grocery stores, over 1,000 employees all over the tri-state area. How do we do these things on a scale? And so my wife literally turned our 25 years of knowledge, 400 talks into a 700-page curriculum online. And that's what grew. That's how Fresh Med University grew. Based upon science, we call each other the art and science. So it allows people to learn remotely. Obviously, who would have predicted that that's the way we would go to school and learn, right? So that was ahead of the time. On their own time, and then using the notion of intrinsic motivation. The intrinsic motivation is really important because you learn when you want to learn, when you're open to learn. One of my favorite quotes is like, the minds are like parachutes, they only work when they're open. And so if you're forced something that you have to do it now versus at your own time, you're more likely to get it done because you're intrinsically motivated. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, it's fun, it's gamified. And for all your listeners, you know, if you go to freshmedu.com, we have a free course, which talks a little bit about what we're talking about today, Bhavani, about how we have a broken healthcare system that doesn't talk about health and happiness. And so we offer a very simple, it's about 25 minutes course for you to get the foundations. And then we also offer a four-week course, which is a little more in depth. And then we offer an intensive 6-month course where we dive into each of these five ingredients, FRESH, one letter at a time for a month. So that's a deep dive. And working with this company now for almost 2 years, you know, we've reversed diabetes. We've made people lost 60, 70 pounds. Their mental health is a lot, you know, they learn how to relax and they learn how to lose weight.
You're talking about Performance Kitchen?
No, we're
talking about Performance Kitchen?
No, we're talking about Fresh Med U in our online course. And this is just
I know, but I thought you were talking about the kits.
No, so the way we believe is that you have to give people the education. So the education is FMU, Fresh Med University. Now, if you need to give people food, because one of the most important things, and that's it just happens that F is fresh, and it starts with F. But if you need the food, I've been able to collaborate with Performance Kitchen to switch the entire majority of the 150 meals to medically tailored meals, which means that they contain less than 4 grams of sugar, less than 500 milligrams of sodium. We only use healthy fats, either avocado or oil. All of our meats, if we do use meats, is sustainably raised. And our vegetarian and vegan lines contain 3 cups of vegetables. And even our meat-based dishes contain one cup of vegetables. So, you know, talk about food as medicine. That's really, I work with registered dietitians. I put my hat on as a doctor, but also as a chef to design meals that are affordable, convenient, affordable, and tasty. And that's really been an awesome, awesome, awesome trip.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's nothing better than to make people happy with food. and especially food that's going to not just make them happy, but help them get on a healthy path to optimum health.
Yeah.
So my question with the Performance Kitchen, do they have different different packages for like the diabetes meals or the vegan meals, the gluten-free meals, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so a couple of things. All of our meals, that's what we call a nutrition promise. All of our meals are low salt, low sugar, okay? All of them. We cook only in avocado. So everything we offer falls within a category of what they call medically tailored meals. A medically tailored meal is a meal reviewed and designed by a registered dietitian and a chef to deal with a specific chronic health condition. So that could be diabetes, that could be heart disease, that could be renal disease, that can be specialty diets like gluten-free, soy-free. And again, the other part of it all, we offer, everything is grounded on the Mediterranean style. But for example, we're doing a pilot program right now with an insurance company. So that's big news, that an insurance company is now paying their members to buy the food that we provided for them with the hopes of reducing the healthcare costs, giving them food as medicine. That's like, talk about policy changes. So if we can prove that that works, and there's been studies that have shown through the Food as Medicine Coalition out of Massachusetts and in California that it does reduce healthcare spending. 24% reduction in healthcare utilization, 13% decrease in hospitalization, and I think 26% decrease in use of medications. So if you feed people the right foods, mm-hmm. Beyond just the education, but literally giving them food as medicine, by giving them food is medicine, they're able to reduce their healthcare costs and increase their health outcomes. And so I'm really excited about that. And anyone that buys our food has access to a registered dietitian. We don't exclude everyone. We have keto meals, we have Mediterranean meals, we have vegan meals, we have Whole30 meals. And it's really been, and the reason
so
why-
So is that a separate website?
Yeah, that's-
we're I'm about, sorry, is that a separate website?
Yeah, so yes. So that's performancekitchen.com. Eventually we're going to put a button on our website, FreshMed NYC, which is our home, like our homepage, and online courses is FreshMed U, which is a tab on our website. And then if you want meals, we're going to be doing that probably the end of this month, where you can buy meals directly from our website through Performance Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask what the average price point is for those meals?
Remember, the first thing I said, it has to be convenient. And the number two, it has to be affordable. Okay. So if you have a coupon for what they call a smaller meal called Performance Kitchen, where you can buy that at Wegmans here in the city, you can order online with a coupon. You can probably get them anywhere between two for $8 or two for $10.
Wow.
And then,
excellent.
Then,
and so then where do my listeners find a coupon?
So fresh 20, they can use that coupon code. They can go online right now and put a coupon code called fresh 20 and get 20% off. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be, again, this is, you're getting a sneak peek, Bhavani. You're getting a sneak peek into this. In the next week or two, we're going to be putting it onto our website. And it's really exciting. And then if you really want a medically tailored meal, the average cost is anywhere between $6 to $10. But again, you're literally getting a medically tailored meal for your health condition, which explores, if you go on our website, we're just doing a pilot program down in South Florida, a large Cuban population. And so I went into the kitchen and designed 7 Cuban recipes to fit within the medically tailored meal definition so that we can offer Cubans the foods that are authentic, traditional to them, which I think is very important mm-hmm. in this movement.
Now you started to mention that you've been using solely avocado oil. Is that correct?
And olive oil oil.
And olive oil. Okay. Okay. Wow. And you're also writing a book, I hear.
Very exciting. So it should be out January 22. It's called The Fresh Five, your recipe for health and happiness. We got picked up by Tiller Press, which is a subsidiary of Simon & Schuster. And we're really excited. We're in the midst of, we're about chapter five right now. And there's going to be 13 chapters with recipes, links to, you know, our meals, our school. But our school is up now. Like I said, it's gone on. And everyone take the free course, you know. It's called The Free Guide to the Fresh Five. And it's a sneak peek of what the book is and what our practice is.
Excellent. So now you said most of the meals that come are frozen. Do they get shipped frozen, or people have to pick them up? Do they get shipped with dry ice, or how does that work?
Yep. So as we start penetrating, this company started out in the Pacific Northwest, in Seattle area. And so as we're starting to move out east, right now it's shipped dry ice. But you can buy them in your freezer aisle. Like in Florida, you can buy them in Publix. In Texas, you can buy it at HEB. In New York, you can buy it at Wegmans. The biggest problem we have right now is really distribution. How do we get it to people? So it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's great. And do you, as a doctor, do you feel like any of the nutritional value is lost when you freeze a meal?
We have a very proprietary freezing technique. We use nitrogen instead of oxygen freezing techniques. We pick the fruits and vegetables at the height of freshness, and we flash freeze them in nitrogen, which then holds a lot of the retention of the nutrients, and then also reduces the amount of frost that develops, which typically happens in frozen foods.
Oh.
You know me for a while now. Uh-huh. I would never align myself with a company that wouldn't be sustainable, wouldn't be, you know, conscious,
right,
animal welfare, had to be, you know, clean as possible, if not, you know, no added colors, no flavors, no sweeteners. You know, if we use any sweeteners, like you mentioned in your recipes, we use, you know,
maple syrup.
Maple syrup, yeah. And so it's clean, uh-huh. You know, it's clean foods that really, it's a balanced nutrition and choice. And then the other thing is that if you need a dietitian or nutritionist consultation, you have one for free. You buy the food, you can call the number and you get a dietitian on the line.
Uh-huh.
So again.
Excellent. Dietitian that's in alignment with Performance Kitchen and Fresh You. Because, you know, most dietitians, I mean, they're responsible for our, you know, our lunch program and our hospital food, and that's not so great. So yeah. It's a dietitian. I just want to qualify for everybody listening. It's a dietitian that has the same standards as you do.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much for joining me. I can't believe how quick time goes. We are out of time. But this was so informative. The work you're doing is awesome. It's been really such a pleasure watching you leave the big hospital and venture out on your own and start this up and really change lives. So thank you.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
And everyone who's been listening and joining us, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.